This is Donald Kobler interviewing Clarinda Yulin, Mary Levesque, and Anna Rossiter, sisters, and Kenneth Rossiter, Anna Rossiter's husband. This is Donald Kobler, May 20th, 1983, interviewing Clarinda Yulin, Mary Levesque, and Anna Rossiter, sisters, and Kenneth Rossiter, husband of Anna Rossiter. Suppose you start by telling us something about your parents, the Beebes.
Well, Dad was born in East Canaan. His name was Herbert Beebe, and he came to Lakeville about 1908, and worked as a picture framer for A.H. Heaton.
In his store.
Where was the store located?
Where the gas station is now.
Yeah. Where the Lakeville service station is now.
And how long did he work there?
From 1930 years.
He worked there 10 years, and then he thought he would have to have more training because he was a picture framer, and which required a little bit more knowledge than what he had. So he went to New London, Connecticut, and worked as a picture framer down there, and then he went to the Wallace Nutting Factory in Ashland, Massachusetts, and we lived in Hopkinton. And then his mother died, so he went back to East Canaan to help take care of his father, and we children and my mother, of course, accompanied him.
And he did ice cream.
That was in East Canaan.
That was in his early years.
And then Mr. Heaton came back over to my father and asked him to come back to work for him. And so we came back to Lakeville, and Dad bought a place up in the Lincoln City Road, known years ago as the Pat Lawless Place. And we lived there from then until he died in 1971.
So you lived there from
1921.
Mm-hmm. Was your father born here too?
He was born in East Canaan.
Mm-hmm. What about your mother?
My mother was born in Beckley Quarter, down near Middletown, Connecticut. She graduated from high school down there and then decided to become a nurse and went to the Winsted Hospital, which was known as the Litchfield County Hospital at that time, and trained to be a nurse. And it was there that she met my father. And they were married in 1910 and built a little place on the Belleville Road where I was the oldest. I'm Anna. I was the oldest, and then Newton was born, and Mary was born, and then Clarinda. And then we moved to New London, and as I said before, to Hopkinton, Massachusetts, and then back to East Canaan, and then in 1922 they came back to Lakeville, and in 1923 Richard was born, and he was the last of the Beebe family.
So all of you were born here.
All of us were born
mm-hmm. in the town of Salisbury.
And you were born here too, Mr. Rossiter?
Yes, of course.
And where did you live?
I lived up Lincoln City Road. Mm-hmm.
What house is that now?
It's where Terry Solon is now.
Mm-hmm.
That was in
1912. Was it always the Rossiter house?
No,
they bought it in 1908, they moved off the mountain. 1908, they bought it. I don't know who they bought it from, sure. The Floods used to live there. And at one time, that house was a bar room.
Oh, really?
And in the front room, see where the bar used to be, and the floor was wore right down paper thin. Then they added on to the house. That was the first front half of it then. Then they added on, made it twice as big as it was.
Where would the customers come from for a bar there?
Well, the Davis Digging Company was going full blast. And
what was that?
That's ore mine. It's right back where the schoolhouse is.
Porter Orban.
No.
The Davis.
Oh, the Davis. Oh, that's
Greenbaum. Well, yeah. Porter was running too.
Greenbaum.
But there was a few miners from the Porter lived up there. But the Davis Digging owned half of Lincoln City or more. They owned everything on the east side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And all those, houses was at that time, belonged to them. And there was two families in a house, so except for two houses, there was 10 houses of families up there.
When were you born? What year?
1912.
And was there anything going on in the ore industry then?
No,
at that time?
The ore hill mine was running a little bit, not much.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the whistle used to blow every 7 o'clock every morning and 5 every afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear it from ore hill to there.
Did they walk over to ore hill to go to work from Lakeville or Lincoln City?
Well, most of the ones that worked in ore hill lived over this way.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, some of them did.
They did work.
Yeah. Some of them did. After the Davis Digging Company closed, most of them worked over there for a while.
Did Doc Monahan ever work there?
I don't know if he ever worked in ore hill. He may have. He worked in the Porter.
Yes,
he worked
I never in the Porter.
And in Davis Digging. I don't ever remember hearing of his work in an ore hill. I don't think he was an underground man. He was a pit man.
Were your parents born here too?
Yes, my father was born upon Mount Raggy. My mother was born in Ankrum Lead Mines, now Thankumdale.
Mm-hmm. How large was your family?
Well, I'm the youngest one of the family. I'm the ninth one.
Mm-hmm. Any of your brothers and sisters living here now?
I have one brother living down in New Jersey and one sister, that's Terry Solon's, Mrs. Solon.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the place where I was born. She's still there.
Oh, she's in the family house.
It's the same house.
Mm-hmm. Same house. Well, what was it like growing up in Lakeville at the time when you were small? What did you do for amusement, for example?
Well, in the summertime, we played ball out in the lot across from our house.
Pasture lot.
Sometimes we played two a cat bat. Sometimes, if there was enough children out, we had teams.
What was two a cat bat?
Well, two a cat bat, you had a person batting and somebody, a second person that was going to bat if the first person hit the ball and started to make a run. And when a person got out, everybody moved up one. The catcher became a batter, the pitcher was a catcher, the first baseman moved to be a pitcher, and the fielders moved up one. So that it made it interesting, and everybody had a chance to pitch, catch, and bat. We
boys and girls play together?
Oh, yes.
A two-a-cat bat, you had two bases, and one-a-cat bat, you had one base.
Yeah.
Then you had to run to the base and back to the plate, and if you didn't get back to the plate, you're out.
The
ball got there first.
And we played pom-pom pull-away, which was you had sides, and you dared somebody to come over to your side, and you tried to pull them off their side and yank them over to your side. And we played Red Rover, and we dare you to come over, and then they'd all rush over, and you rushed out to grab them, and if you got them, then they had to be on your side.
And then you played alley-alley over, under-over.
That was
a ball, you're throwing a ball
over
a building.
Roof. One stand on one side, one on the other. And you throw the ball, and if it goes over, you see, you alley-alley, and if it goes
over,
you say over. That means they got to catch it and throw it back. If it doesn't go over, you say under, and it comes back on your side, and you throw it over again. And my father had a fit because he said we were going to break windows, and Mama loved it because she knew where we were. She could always tell when
he always thought it landed on the roof of the bottom. ruin the shingles. And then in the winter time we skied and slid. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What kind of skiing did you do? Was it
cross country
or downhill?
Well, there was hills.
We had both. In fact, we went in the winter time. The road was full of snow. We skied to school, and we skied back at night.
And how far did you have to go to school then?
Well,
from where you lived on Lincoln miles, City Road.
It would be, it would be a mile.
A mile.
My mistake. Mm-hmm.
But going cross.
But we went cross lots and knocked some off net. Mm-hmm. But
it only had one strap on it, so I mean, you kept coming out of the things too, because it didn't have the harness like they have now. Yeah, you can.
I was one of the first ones, I think, to make a ski harness. Mm-hmm. And but I used my skis for right through while I was working up till. We lived at Twin Lakes there, and I used to ski with Canaan to get groceries. Mm. I could put a 50, 75 pounds on my back, groceries, and ski off to Canaan,
right?
Twin Lakes, and think nothing of it.
Where did you skate? On the lake?
Sometimes on the lake, and sometimes on the Port Orbed, but my father was very fussy because he would always go down and test the ice before he'd let us on it, because he was afraid that we might fall through. We also up to Berginty's up on the hill, way up on top of Stellick Hill there. There was a pond, and we used to go up there and ski quite a bit, or skate quite a bit.
Well, Brazzali's had a pond over there later years. I used to go over there and skate.
Sometimes there was a pond that came if we had a lot of rain right behind our house, and I skated there a lot.
That's where we met Rena.
In the wintertime, of course, back there in the 1920s, they didn't have the equipment they have now to keep the roads open. And Lincoln City always filled up with snow. We always figured if it didn't fill up with snow, then the backbone of winter was not broken. Mm-hmm. And we always had a lot of fun because everybody got out and shoveled snow. One year we had a shovel.
You mean shoveled out the road?
Shoveled out the road. One year we had a shovel because Mr. and Mrs. Patrick Francis didn't have any coal, and they had to have coal.
Well, we like to get the mailman through.
And we like to get the mailman through.
But the town would come and do it if there was a pregnant woman on the road.
Or if there was anybody sick.
Yeah, then they'd come and plow it out. But other than that, you were on your own.
But a lot of times they came down through the lot instead of going the road because the road is so hard to get through.
Yeah, they took the fences down. And
people had a different outlook than if it wasn't working. If you wasn't working, you went out and shoveled snow and thought nothing of it for the town. Get the road open, do it for your neighbors.
You did it free, you mean?
You
yeah,
working.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you was working, drawing pay, well then you actually didn't do it. But people in the summertime, they worked for all they could get. In the wintertime, if something came up, somebody wanted something done, they'd go out and do it for any price, so get that extra quarter to help out with what was left in summer's wages.
Mm-hmm.
But they never charged the town much. You always did it as cheap as you could or for nothing when you worked for the town. Now it's a little different.
We had, Lincoln City is about a half a mile from where we were living, down the main road to Lakeville, and then you had another half mile to go into the center of Lakeville. But we had shortcuts. We had the Porter Orbed Way, which you turned at Monahan's Gate, and went down across their lot, over a stile, down a steep hill, alongside the Port Orbed, over an old bridge, and came out on Porter Street, down where the present post office is. The other way was the Orchard Way. You turned by what used to be Peter Garrity's place, went down across the lot, and came out down a steep hill by Argyle's.
On
I don't know who lives there now, but it was Arnold then, and came down Orchard
Paul
Street.
Paul Driscoll lives there.
Oh, Paul Driscoll, that's right. and went down Orchard Street and onto the village. One winter, Joe Francis took his car down over that hill at Orchard Street, and that's a steep hill. I don't know how he did it.
That was something.
Drove right over the snow.
Yeah, in the snow. Mm-hmm. He took it down there at cross lots because he couldn't get down the main way.
I remember when our cow went dry, taking the little tin quart milk can down and putting it in this little box with 10 cents. And when we came home from school, we picked up the milk and took it home. You remember that? I think we got the milk from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Probably did. On
10 cents.
Street, yeah. We lived on the last house there.
Where did you go swimming? You must have done a lot of swimming. Did you use the lake then? Or?
No.
It wasn't a great while.
We were allowed to go swimming up the brook above Lincoln City. Mr. Petty owned the woods, and there was a beautiful swimming hole. The water came down off of a lot of rock and into this pool. And every year we shivered in our boots and we waited to see Mr. Petty come down the road. Then we'd go out and we'd say, Mr. Petty, would you mind if we went swimming in your swimming pool? And he looked very stern at us and he would say, do you carry matches? And we said, no, we don't. Well, then by Jove, maybe you could go. But he was really a kindly man, even though he scared us to death when we were kids.
Would that be Burton Brook?
No,
that would be the Petty Brook, the one that was down through the city, south.
Park Hill now, huh?
Park Hill.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're over.
It used to be a big brook, kind of big.
Doesn't it go through Green Pond? Yeah, it empties into Green Pond, and then goes down by Park, comes out of Green Pond.
It was, somebody had dammed it up a little to make that swimming hole, too, wasn't it?
I think
that was natural rock.
That was natural rock. Yeah.
That was natural. You couldn't.
But it was ice cold.
Oh, yeah, there was no sun hit it.
Sun didn't hit that for, quarter and a half mile before you get up to open lots where the sun could hit it, and it run over those rocks, and it was spring fed anyhow.
But we all learned to swim
cold
there.
Mm-hmm.
Dad taught us.
Mm-hmm.
Breaststroke. That's the only one he knew. So we all learned the breaststroke.
A few minutes. All you want.
But you couldn't. I mean, it was only up to your waist.
For kids, it was a good size.
Oh, yeah.
Grown up, but very
grown up. It was up to you, they didn't have to worry about us. We were up there, we were all right.
What about your schooling? Where did you go to school?
I went in third grade. I started in third grade in Lakeville, and that was at, what did you call that school?
St. Mary's Hall.
Was where St. Mary's Hall is now, but
yeah.
It was the Catholic.
It wasn't a Catholic convent then.
It was a school.
No, it was a school.
The Catholic
run
school
by the,
was run by the Catholic Church.
Well, not when I went to school.
No.
Well,
it was
you
the
went
town
school that
taken
late
over.
Yeah.
I'm ahead of you.
Yes,
years.
I know. But you went there too.
Yeah, but the town, when the Catholic Church closed the school, they left a lot of extra pupils for the town school, for the public school. And they didn't have room for them, so they rented the Catholic school.
That's how.
And they put the first three grades up there.
That's right.
And at that time, I was a third grader, so I got a year up there.
Well, then the next year, I got in there. Miss Standard was my teacher.
Right, she was mine too.
She was yours too. And then Corinne went there, and she had Miss Horty.
No, I didn't. I had Miss Standard.
Yeah,
I might have had Miss Horty in the first grade.
Yeah, she taught first.
Yeah, right.
She taught
first
and
second.
And Anna was down with.
I started with Bessie Arnold in fourth grade down at the other school,
where
the post office is now. It was a lovely school there. The grade school was on the first floor, and the high school was on the second floor. The high school was one big room, the assembly room, which started in the front was the freshmen, and then back was the sophomores, and behind them sat the juniors, and the seniors were at the end of the room. There was two classrooms. Room one, which was English, taught English, and I don't know, history, I guess. And room, the lab,
Laboratory.
The science room or laboratory room was the other room, and the principal's office, that was the high school.
Yeah.
How many teachers were there, do you remember?
Four.
Yeah.
We had Miss Lee taught the English, and
Simonton taught French, Abigail.
No, not, she was after we, the second year. Who was the Latin teacher that...
Chapin.
Chapin, let's say.
Margaret.
Margaret Chapin. The principal was Loring, and he taught mathematics and science.
Who was the principal?
Loring.
Was he
Loring?
Yeah, Loring was the principal.
Well, when Ken was there, it was Mosley.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mosley. Yeah.
Henry Mosley.
Henry Mosley. Boy, well, he was a wonderful man, too.
When
Loring
got,
came up.
Yeah, Loring was, maybe it was Loring's first year
I
when
was,
I got to be a
yeah,
freshman.
He was, because he went up to the other school.
Yeah.
To the new...
Well, see, when I got up there, it was Loring. Mm-hmm.
See, I spent 2 years at the LHS, Lakeville High School, and 2 years at Salisbury High School. Because...
No.
I did, yes.
Well, I spent 2 years in Lakeville High School. I went to, no, 1 year.
1 year at Lakeville
Three,
High
that's right.
Three,
I was sophomore
yeah,
up there, right?
So the Salisbury
was built.
High School was built to include students from both Lakeville and Salisbury? Yeah.
Right.
Well, the Lakeville High School was too. They all came down.
They didn't have a high school in Salisbury.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lime Rock and Orhill came over.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had grade schools
that's
in their
right,
town.
Taconic.
Yeah.
We went to the
yeah,
town hall and town meeting when they were trying to build that high school, and there was
mm-hmm,
a lot of flack. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
People thought it was going to raise taxes too much.
Now, is that the what is now the old building?
That's right.
The Salisbury
grammar
Central.
Right. Yeah,
Salisbury
right, right,
Central. Yeah.
That land was part of the Davis Pigman Company, and the school was bought it and then gave it to the town to put the school on.
Mm-hmm.
It had a great big sign there when we moved to Lincoln City. It said, David, this property belongs to the Davis Pigman.
Well, they had an auction sign up there. They were going to put the building lots and auction it off.
Oh,
and
that's right.
The Scoble family stepped in and bought it, so
yeah,
that wouldn't happen. And they gave it to the town, the school.
Yeah, where the schools are now. We used to pick wild strawberries.
I used to mow the hay on those lots all the way from State Road up to.
Yeah. Well, Ian Atkins and I used to go down and pick mm-hmm, strawberries.
Who were some of your school chums who are still around?
Main Olin Picker. Gertineen Nielsen, Francis Ham
Lemoyne,
Darwin Miller,
yeah, he's
mm-hmm,
another one.
Gertrude Van Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin Smith, well, he's in Canaan.
Emilio Verzali,
Guido, and Peter.
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 He was ahead of us in school.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Only Atkins is gone.
Our neighbors at that time, there was Henry Atkins and his wife Emma and their family, Sydney and Lillian, Bill, Chester,
Philip.
Who else?
Leon.
Oh yeah, Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Atkins. The Gunshannons lived the other side of us between our house and the Rossiter house, and then the Marcons bought it, and they lived there until Mr. Marcon died, and I don't know who lives there now.
And John Monahan lived on the other side, and they had
two
daughters,
daughters. Anna Mae and Helen.
Helen's the only one living now.
Round the corner and down the road a little ways was Pete Garrity, and it was he had two daughters that were living at home at that time. They were older than we. Julia married Jim Hines, and Catherine Garrity was never married. She was a telephone operator. She was a night operator for many years in Lakeville.
Is she still living?
Yes.
What kind of work did you do as children? Did you have to help with the household chores, for
dishes,
example?
The dishes.
Oh, you.
Well, Mom and Dad had about 4 acres of ground, and Dad decided that we should have a cow to help bring us children up, and we all had to learn to milk the cow and to feed the cow, because he worked till 6 o'clock at night, and of course in the wintertime it was dark when he got home. In the summertime we had to help get the hay in and plant the garden and help with the garden and weed the garden. We didn't like to weed the garden, what kid does.
We had to hill the potatoes and the corn too, remember?
Right.
I don't think you did that.
We had a couple of pigs.
Oh yes, we had pigs.
And two chickens.
At one time we had goats.
Then not in Lakeville. We didn't have any goats.
We brought them to Lakeville and the Vasoskis bought them.
The Vasoskis had them when we came to Lakeville. I remember going by Vasoskis and seeing our goats.
Dad sold them.
Yeah. I was thinking I could go up and visit the goats, but I never did.
What about you, Mr. Rossiter? Did you do farm work as a boy, summers?
Well, I tell you, in those days, every kid had his chores. And the bigger you got, the more chores you got. So, I don't remember when I didn't work at something. Of course, it was a smaller kid, just a lighter work. But by the time I was 14, I went to work out. And I could do anything that anybody else could do, like load hay or drive horses or cultivate or plow or whatever. And
what farm were you working on then?
Well, when I worked out, I worked in a market garden. Goy Coles had a market garden, and I worked for him 1 year, 2 years. And then I worked at home. And then when I got out of school, I went out to work on the farm.
When did you start farming for yourself?
Let's see, I got married in 35, and I worked over in New York State for 3 years on a farm. And 38, about 1940, I think.
1938, we bought our first pair of pigs, and I said to you, I have a feeling that we'll never be without livestock from here on in, and we never have. We started with pigs.
Mm-hmm. And I had pigs a good share of my life, too, a lot of them.
And now we have a farm with beef cattle and a couple of dairy cows for our own use, and we have chickens. I sell eggs.
Corinne, what was your occupation before you were married?
A bookkeeper.
And where?
I worked for a while at the garage, the Lakeville service station, and I worked for the Wellsville Dairy, a bookkeeper there. And it was during the war, so it was hard getting help, so I drove milk truck and delivered milk and then come back in and do the bookwork. And I enjoyed every bit of it.
Was it milk bottle then?
Oh yeah, it was mm-hmm. bottles, quarts and pints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Harold Smith took my, yeah, cream. Harold Smith took my job when I had to quit on account of having children.
Mm-hmm. He took over the bookkeeping. He didn't deliver milk, did he?
No, he did never delivered milk. No.
What was their slogan? You can whip our cream, but you can't
eat our milk.
Say that again.
You can whip our cream, but you can't beat our milk.
That was the Cleveland Dairy.
Wellsville Dairy.
Wellsville Dairy.
Paul Cleveland had that saying way back when he had his own
Oakwood farm.
He had that on everything.
Mm-hmm. How did you happen to become a nurse, Mary?
I was a year after I got out of high school. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was answering the telephone for Dr. Herrick whenever they'd go out, and they talked to me, and they talked me into going into training to be a nurse. And when I asked what kind of, where to go, she said, well, the St. Vincent's Hospital nurses in New York, she was a supervisor, I think at St. Luke's, and she found that they were
one of the best qualified nurses, and so she advised me to try to go there. So that's where I ended up.
At St. Luke's?
No, St. Vincent's.
Mm-hmm. How long were you there?
I finished my training 3 years, and I came back here for 2 years. I did private duty. I relieved, what was her name? I'm public health nurse.
Ruth Miner.
I used to relieve her for a month every summer. And I did, I relieved the nurses at Sharon Hospital once in a while. And then I won a scholarship, so I went on into anesthesia. And that's when I left Lakeville.
Mm-hmm. Where did you study?
Anesthesia. At Barnes Hospital in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And after I left there, I went to the Medical College of Virginia in Richmond, and from there into the service. And after 4 years, then I decided to go to Maine. I liked the state of Maine. I loved the summers there. So that's where I lived for 35 years until my husband died, and I came back to Lakeville.
What changes do you notice? You've been away for a long time.
There are tremendous changes, really and truly.
For example?
Well, just around the house that I was brought up in. I mean, that whole place is built up where there was nothing.
You mean Lincoln City Road?
Lincoln City Road. There was nothing on the right-hand side at all until you got up to where Peter Brizzelli lives. And now it's all built up. There was nothing from that house on except for Atkins. All, you know, up to Joe Francis, next to Brizzelli's. Now there's all houses in there. In back of our house, there was a vacant lot. There's a big road. There's houses built up in there where there used to be just...
pasture land.
Well, there wasn't even pasture. Most of it was cliffs,
rocks. What they call Upland Meadow Road?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that was up on the farm that we used to have. She's talking about the road they put in across...
Reba's put it in, I think.
I don't know whether they got a name on that or not. It's a new development. It's got
they haven't got any name on the road yet, but I think Reba is the one that built one of the houses up there.
Yeah, Reba built a house.
So Richard Malby bought it.
It's a Malby development.
Development.
But he bought over the other development too, so it's all Malby development now.
And of course they built the second school up there behind the old high school.
Mm-hmm.
They took the old school down and put a post office there. Robert's store was gone. They had that burned while I was home. And there were three grocery stores when we lived in town, and now there's none. There were Jigger Shop and at the candy store.
There were several
there
garages,
were
and now there's only one.
Yes. There was a Martin's, and there was several.
Heffernan's
had a garage.
And
the
bowling alley,
and that's gone. Yes, the bowling alley.
Where was the bowling alley?
And where Harry Campbell owns that building now, just this side of Farnham Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
The Farnham Apartments.
It used to be Smith's Garage, and then bowling alley after that, and then...
Well, there used to be the Friendly Club, that was the girls of Lakeville. There was the Lorgans and Harriet Roberts and Mae Bissell and Miriam Bartram and Gladys Bellini and all of those. They formed this Friendly Club and they built where the Masons are now. And the men had their own society, the men's club, and that building is gone.
Yeah.
That was next to the...
Right next to the store.
Well, Rickman's store.
Yeah.
These were social clubs, were they?
Yeah.
Primarily?
They were social, yeah, the Friendly Club was a social club, but they were so social that they didn't let youngsters join because when we got to be old Thelma and Frances and Gertrude and Mary Jo Whalen and I and several others, Doris Peabody, we wanted to join the Friendly Club, but they didn't want us. Because we were young and they couldn't cope with our shenanigans, I suppose. I don't know. So they disbanded. It was really too bad because it was a nice little building and they really had good times.
The men's club did the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, there was a Stuart Theater, and that's gone.
Yeah.
How about the Swinging Bridge?
The Swinging Bridge is gone, yes, and the Trestle is gone.
And the holly block is gone.
It's the holly block is gone.
And the train is gone.
Down the train is gone.
Yes. We used to have a Toonerville trolley, you know.
Where's the trolley then?
It came, was just from Lakeville to Millerton?
No.
No, Canaan.
Yeah.
It was just one little car.
A dinky bus.
A dinky bus, we called it. Yeah. I rode to Canaan. I used to work over
the biggest part of it was annoying at
one time.
Yeah, but if you wanted to go shopping, it was an easy way to get to Millerton or to Canaan.
Or I used to ride for a nickel from Lakeville to Salisbury and go to the library.
You know, I remember when there was 8 trains a day on that railroad.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's coming through Lakeville.
Yeah. Lakeville to North.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was a kid growing up, my grandparents, Grandma and Grandpa Beebe, lived in East Canaan, and many a Sunday afternoon my father would say, well, let's go to East Canaan, and we'd get on our clothes and down to the station we'd go and hop the train and go to East Canaan and stay there for a while and come on back on the next train.
Mm-hmm.
I do
remember. You mentioned the Jigger shop. You said you worked there, Anna?
I worked at the Jigger shop.
What was that?
That was, they sold newspapers and magazines, ice cream, sandwiches. She did have a blue plate dinner that people could get. Oh, on Sundays we usually had roast lamb, mashed potatoes, and peas.
Homemade pies.
And homemade pies.
Now, where was it located?
Where the laundromat is now. They lived upstairs and had the restaurant downstairs. It was a quick, you could go in and get a quick meal. The Hotchkiss schoolboys used to come down a lot. In those days, they didn't have a store at Hotchkiss School. And
the boys come down every afternoon,
and they really spent money and enjoyed their ice cream and their hamburgers and their hot dogs. And some of them charged, some of them paid cash, but most of them charged. And they had charge accounts, and then Mrs. Hamlin always had to make out the bill and send it, I suppose, to the parents.
Now, who was the proprietor?
Edith Ham and Floyd Ham.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there until...
Well, they used to have drummers come from that would fall in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, the haberdashery.
Haberdashery.
Then there was Harry and Harry outside.
For Spalding, wasn't he?
Who?
He was for Spalding company.
Harry and Harry. Harry
Collins.
Collins.
Yeah. They would have shoes and suits and make them up for the Hotchkiss boys. The Hotchkiss boys would come down and select what they'd want, and they sold it that way.
Yeah.
At the Jigger shop?
They had a back room that they could put their display in, and they'd hang up the suits and the materials that they had. The boys could order if they wanted to, their shoes and things like that. Nowadays, they don't do that.
Do you remember when we had a blizzard and the school would close and we'd all go down to Dad's and Dad would link us all up together and send us home?
Yes, I do.
One great big line, everybody hanging on to the next one so that no one would get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go directly to Mama's, and Mama would always have hot cocoa ready for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd link the ones going south together and the ones going north together, and they'd take off.
They didn't close school for too many storms.
No, because everybody walked. You didn't have buses in those days.
No, you walked through snow to your neck.
What other changes do you know, Mr. Rossiter? What changes strike you between what it was like when you were a boy growing up here and the way it is now?
Well, I don't know. They pretty well covered it. The farmers used to have to all bring their milk into the village, and it was put on a truck and milk cans and shipped to Hartford. No matter what the weather was, you had to get down to Roberts' yard where Roberts' store was and meet the truck by before 9 o'clock in the morning, and you did it with horses. And some mornings it was below zero and the wind blowing, and sometimes it was raining and ice, and I made that trip. I lived on the, up on the Petty Farm. That was 4 miles each way.
Did they ship the milk in by train then?
That was after the train. The trains used to take it, but then after the train, the milk train was taken off way early. And
about what time?
Bryant Chapman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bryant Chapman?
Bryant and Chapman was the big milk company in Hartford that took the milk from here, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the train was taken off, oh my goodness, that was way back in, probably 24 or earlier.
Oh,
I couldn't tell you. The milk train, I mean, not the regular train.
Mm. No, I know, but I remember going up there and loading
milk.
That platform for milk. I'm across from where the station is now.
Oh.
They had a place there, and they put the milk on the platform.
Well, we used that platform when the trucks first started at first for a little while when the train stopped. But I never wasn't working where I hauled milk to the train at any time. But Kimball from Millerton had a contract for trucking the cans in, and farmers, there was a lot of farmers in, and they came from all around the village in there. That yard would be so full of horses and wagons, sleighs, whatever the going was.
Oh, well, there were a lot more farmers then than there are now, a lot more working farms, weren't there?
How many on Wells Hill? Sabins?
On Wells Hill alone, there was...
And Johnson?
There was the Perry Farm, and then Otto Sabin and Paul Cleveland, and...
Rose Hill Farm?
Yeah.
Frank Nails?
Yeah.
But did he ship milk, or was he had a...
He shipped milk.
He
had
a rope. He sold, too.
He had a rope,
and
he shipped, too.
Oh.
He bottled and put it... Oh,
what about
bottle.
Johnson? Did he have a farm, too?
What Johnson?
Oh,
he never shipped milk.
Oh, he never shipped milk.
It was a bit small.
Oh, well, Garrity, did he ship milk?
No.
No.
Oh, you mean Johnny King?
Yeah.
But that was just Wells Hills.
Yeah.
Did Lansing ship?
Huh?
Did Lansing ship?
They had beef cattle. Silk did. When Silk was there.
I was going to say the ones came back by the house. Those were milk cows.
And Louis Burgundy.
Louis Burgundy. Yeah. And there was the Belters. There was Stevens. He shipped, didn't he? Wilbur Stevens, when he was
Honor.
Up at the Petty place.
Honor had the place down where Rick goes.
Not the Petty place, the Peabody place. Didn't he
ship milk? Peabody Farm shipped milk.
No.
And Petty Farm and Warner Farm, where Virginia was, and Silk's when they had it before Lansing. And
Miners?
Yeah.
The Belters?
Oh, yeah, on that road it was Belters and Miners and Reeds.
Reeds,
Baldwin
yeah.
Reed.
Yeah, Baldwin Reed,
mm-hmm. That's right.
And then they came up from Lime Rock.
I think you said your father was instrumental in getting electricity through to Lincoln City Road.
There was no electricity, no telephone, no water.
This was on Lincoln City Road.
Lincoln City Road, and Dad took the petition around, and everybody signed it except Doc Monahan, John Monahan, and he thought it would bring, if the lightning, it would strike a house if it had electricity in it. So he refused to sign. He was the only one. Everybody else signed, and they brought up. So I remember my mother cleaning the oil lamps every day and lighting them at night and warning us to stay away from them. And boy, when we first had turned on the electric light, that was a miracle.
Weren't they bright?
That was a miracle.
And at that time, when you got electricity and the power company didn't put the meter on for a week, they let you have it free.
You had a
every light
free electricity. For a week.
So Lincoln City was the brightest place you ever saw.
And the telephone was a party line, and you had to ring Central and tell her what number you wanted. And if you wanted to talk to two people at the same time, you told her, and she would plug in both of them.